Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. You know that we were talking about it during our staff meeting this week about what if we did that every quarter. And in fact, on Tuesday, I'm meeting with a group of pastors from South Kansas City, and they're also committing to pray for the schools and their schools that they're adopting. And so it's not just a one-off event, but maybe once a quarter we could, after Sunday morning, you could just get the group that went to that particular school, whether it was Butcher Green or Ruskin or Grandview, and then say, hey, let's go and pray before we go to lunch or something like that. So we want to try and have ongoing prayer for our schools. And thank you all for doing that, those that participated in that. So thank you. A couple of quick announcements. Firstly, Worship Watch and Wait will be here tonight. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you'll be blessed. If you don't know what that is, come at 6 o'clock, and it's just a time of worship, and I invite you to be a part of that as Daniel Breimer leads us. And then on October 1st, we're going to have a special business meeting here right after the service, and at that time we will be presenting who the candidates are for elders, as we've been talking about this year, and also we'll be presenting what the amendment to the bylaws would look like, so basically replacing MLT with elders in the bylaws. And so that's not the set in stone document, that's just so that you can kind of proofread it before, and again we'll get to vote on all of that in November. But just that you know, so October 1st will be that special business meeting. It's not a Q&A, it's just a presentation. The Q&A to actually meet and question and get to know the elders will be later on in October. So invite you to be a part of that. So let's pray together before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is life. And Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so I pray that you would speak to us now. You would challenge us. But Lord, I pray that you would encounter us with your truth and set us free. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how many of you have, at any point in your life, ever worried? Anybody anxious over something right now? Anxiety is something that we're kind of grow accustomed to. We kind of are used to. We stay up at night worrying about things, and sometimes we entertain worries that we shouldn't. And in fact, some years ago, I realized that a lot of what was driving me in my life was anxiety. I was literally motivated by anxiety. I used to be a competitive athlete, and I would train, and I would participate, and I would train hard because I was afraid of what people might think if I didn't do well. I was afraid of not showing up on the day and being at my best, so I would train harder. When I was in high school, I didn't study hard to get good grades. I studied hard so that I wouldn't fail. Failure was a motivator for me. I was worried, and if you saw my high school grades, you'd understand why. Sometimes I was, and more often than not, I realized that so much of my life was driven and motivated by worry, anxiety. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. You know, fear of what others think, fear of losing out, fear of the expectations of others, or fear of the uncertainty of the unknown. What might happen tomorrow? You know, the Lord dealt with me on that and is dealing with me on that, and it was a difficult conversation. And the amazing thing about difficult conversations with the Lord, which is our series that we're going through, the difficult conversation happens more than once. We might get it today, and then tomorrow we kind of slip into worry and anxiety again, and the Lord has to remind us of that and bring us back to that point of repentance and aligning ourselves with His will. Sometimes we pick up the fears that, and we nurture them because we're used to them, and we're almost comfortable with those fear and anxiety that we have. So Today, in our series on difficult conversations, it may sound odd, it's not a difficult conversation of rebuke, but it's a difficult conversation of, well, we all do it. We all worry. How do we stop worry? How do we stop anxiety? And then next week, it's going to be kind of included in those two parts within the series of, we're going to speak about fear of man. Fear of not just the expectations of man, what somebody else might be able to do to you, that fear and anxiety of someone else. So that'll be next week, and we'll look at Matthew chapter 10. But this week, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6. And again, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and a lot of what Jesus taught that really, really challenges us was in the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 6, and just in context, at the last part of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, teaching his disciples, speaks about finances. He speaks about the area of finances, the struggle for wanting to store up riches here on the earth and not storing up riches in heaven. And in verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." I think a lot of our worry in life is related to finance. Sometimes it's the worry of not having. Sometimes it's the worry of how can we get more. Sometimes it's the worry of, well, we have a lot, and how do we keep it? And how do we keep it to last for our lifetime? And a lot of people struggle with worry in the area of finances. But in the passage that we're looking at now today, beginning at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the worry and the anxiety that we have over the basic necessities of life, of food, of water, of drink, and of clothing. These very basic human necessities. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. "So therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen. Now, Jesus is dealing with these most basic human necessities. And for us in the 21st century, where we are in culture, in a postmodern world, we can miss the impact of these verses. We can really miss the impact of what Jesus was saying. Because, you know, in the first century, they didn't have refrigerators and deep freezers. They didn't have a Walmart or a Dollar General in every corner. This morning I woke up and realized we didn't have any milk in the house. It was a quick fix. I could go to Dollar General and buy some milk. But in the first century, they would literally wake up every morning and the first thought in their mind is, where are we going to get something to eat? And did we collect enough water yesterday for the day? These basic necessities. So we really struggle with that. But that's what Jesus was talking about. And in Matthew 6, when Jesus had just given them what we know as the Lord's Prayer, in verse 11, he says, "Give us today our daily bread." That would really have resonated with the people in the first century. Because where would they get their daily bread? They couldn't keep bread for weeks and weeks by freezing it. They had to know every day where their bread was coming from, their basic necessities. And clothing was a big deal for them, especially in the winter. Most people only had maybe two sets of clothing. And they would wear the clothing until it was completely worn out before they got a new set of clothing. Now today, I hate going to the store and standing and looking through lines and lines of clothes, but today you can go online and simply pick out what you want, browse through, click a button, and it'll show up at your door. Guilty. Way better than standing in a clothing store. Maybe some of that is my childhood trauma of standing in malls with my parents. But we can't really relate to these struggle for basic necessities of life. Some of you may be familiar with the proposal of the psychologist Maslow, and in 1943 he proposed a pyramid of needs, or a pyramid of five tiers, starting with the most basic needs at the bottom of the pyramid, which he called the physiological needs: food, shelter, sleep, and so on. Now Maslow was a secular humanist, and I don't agree with pretty much everything that he taught, but these understandings of the basic needs help us today when we look at this passage, because the second tier that he had is what he called safety needs. So the second tier of the basic human needs, or the pyramid of needs, is the safety needs, and that is health, security, financial security, and a place to stay, a home, a property. And I think that's where we are in our society. We don't worry about where we're going to get water from. Sometimes we might have to one day, but right now we don't. We worry about safety. We worry about those second tier things in life. So I would argue that our postmodern world, a developed world, is more likely to worry about safety and health and property than any other thing in the world right now. Just look how crazy the world went during COVID. And we began worrying about safety, personal safety, and certain issues that the first century world had no grid for, because they simply worried about the basic essentials of life. So it doesn't matter what we're anxious about. The truth is that we all struggle with anxiety. It doesn't matter what level we're at. We all struggle with anxiety. In other parts of the world, they are struggling to worry about the basic food and water for that day. But we're all prone to it. And Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us today, "Do not be anxious." He's not saying try not to be anxious. He's saying do not. It's a command from Jesus. I said it often, you know, leaders of nations and large corporations, maybe even small corporations, they can get you to do what they want you to do through fear. Fear is a great motivator. And so a lot of corporations, leaders, public leaders, rule by fear, creating scenarios where you would give up things because of fear. And they know that. But that's not the kingdom of God. That is not the way the Lord rules his people. Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious. Jesus doesn't need to establish his power and his authority through fear. When Jesus says, "Do not be anxious," it's because it is a command that's for our good. It is for our good not to be anxious. So I want to look at this passage today and quickly go through eight reasons, as we look at the verses, eight reasons why Jesus commands us not to be anxious, not to be afraid. Beginning in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" See, these basic human needs. Today, if you went without food for a day or two, you'd experience some If you weren't able to get access to food and water for a day, you'd survive, but it would be uncomfortable. You'd struggle. And if you went without clothing and you had the same set of clothing for weeks and weeks, you may just not have the approval of those around you. People around you would say, it's time you wash those clothes. You know, so if we didn't have these things, we'd have some discomfort. But if we went without, if we had all food and water removed, we would die. These are anxious. But Jesus is saying, life is more important. Life is more than just food and drink and clothing. There is so much more that he has in store for us. If you focused on these things, if you're anxious about these things, you're missing out on the greatness of life that he has in store for you, the reasons that you were created, the purpose that God created you. It's not to be worried about these things. He has so much more in store for you. Luke 12:21, Jesus said, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." He has got so much more to you. When we focused on these things around us, we're anxious about these basic things that we need, and we focus on them and we're anxious about them, we miss the glory of God in the world around us. We miss so much that God has in store for us. You know, many of you know that Debbie has had some significant health challenges, and something shifted in her perspective, her mindset, over the last summer. And we got a membership to the zoo, and she would go walk around the zoo, and it's really good to be in nature and to see animals. But the thing that struck me was she wasn't, oh, there's an elephant. That's amazing. No, she would look at the tiniest little flower, those flowers that can fit on the edge of your finger, and she would go up really close to it and just admire that and say, God created that. And she would study it. She would look at it. That is worship. That is what we were created for. And so often we're so focused on the, I need these things, that we forget to look at the little things and even the great things that God has created. And we forget to miss out on the greatness of God as we worship God. That's being rich towards God. The second reason we shouldn't worry, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know, this is not a encouragement to carelessness or laziness. You know, tend to read that and say, oh, I don't have to do anything, God's just going to provide, right? No, I don't know if you've watched birds. They're constantly busy. They're scratching in the dirt, or they're looking for food. They're constantly moving around, buzzing around, either finding things for their nest or food for themselves. They're busy, but God provides. God provides the food, but they have to do the work to get the food. And it's the same with us. We're called to work. We're called to be diligent in doing what God has called us to do. But God is the provider. So we do our part, we diligently work, but we trust God. We trust God for the provision for tomorrow. Then thirdly, the third reason why we shouldn't be anxious, verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? You know, this is obvious. Worrying doesn't add a single hour to your life. In fact, worrying might reduce your lifespan because it creates stress, high blood pressure, different kinds of ailments because of anxiety and worry. Whatever the problems you're facing today, dwelling on it won't make it go away. In fact, it will reduce your joy. It will reduce your happiness. My family can attest to the fact that when I'm worrying about something, I'm not pleasant to be around. I'm not joyful. Worry is not good for us, and by implication, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. Well, we don't like to be called sinners, right? So we change the term. We don't say, well, I'm not worrying, I'm just burdened this issue that's going on in my life. Or This is just a concern in my life right now. Or, yeah, this is my cross to bear. No, it's, let's call it for what it is. It's worry, and by implication, as I'll show later, it is a sin. And the truth is that worry shortens our life rather than extends our life. Then the fourth reason we shouldn't worry, verses 28 to 30. And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, when we were in South Africa in July and August, it was the season for the arum lily. And the arum lily is a beautiful flower that just grows in the wild all over South Africa. I think the next slide shows a picture of an arum lily. And it was just everywhere around the farmlands and in the ditches on the side of the roads. And in fact, entrepreneurs would go and pick them and then sell them on the street corners because people love to have these beautiful flowers in their homes. But they were everywhere. And they last for a few weeks, and then they die. And then what you've got left is this kind of green, grass-like, leafy bush that just looks like a nondescript bush. But there's that beautiful flower that comes in the season that nobody plants, nobody cares to take care of. It just grows by does that. And it's beautiful. God designed that lily that way, and he adorns it with beauty because of his love for you and I to see it, but he just does it because it's beautiful. That's God's creation. And if God delights to do that for a flower, for a bush or a plant, how much more would he not adorn the piece of his creation that's created in his own image, and you and I? How much more does God not desire to adorn his creation, created in his own image? A number of years ago, I was at a prayer retreat. I was taking some time just to stop and pray and spend time with the Lord, and I had a few questions and things that I was wrestling with. And I was walking out in the field one day and just praying and wrestling and asking God questions. And it was about provision. It was about different concerns that I had. And I was hearing nothing from the Lord. No scripture was coming to mind. It was just, I'm just wrestling with this. And nothing is coming to light. So I went to this little pond and I sat down by the pond. And I'm like, Lord, speak to me. Show me. Help me. And I sat down with my Bible and my journal, and it was just nothing, nothing. And I was like, oh, Lord, you've got to come through. I need to hear from you now. I need to know what you're saying. And I looked down at my feet. There in front of me was just the edges of the pond. And in this little piece by my feet, there were these tiny microscopic bugs. And they were just buzzing around in the water. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Ever seen those before? You know, when you look at a pond, you think of the fish, you think of the birds. And there were these tiny little microscopic bugs in there buzzing around and just going about their business. And I said, I've never really thought about it before. And the Lord immediately just put the thought in my mind, I take care of them. I feed them. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've never thought about that. God takes care of the tiniest bugs. He feeds them. How much more does he not take care of his own children? And he's not absolutely care of his own children. Now, you know, we're not all dressed like Solomon. I don't know if you noticed, we're not dressed like Solomon today. But Jesus isn't saying that you will have extravagant clothing and look resplendent with your robes. Now, what he's saying is you will have all the clothes that you need. You will have everything that you need. I challenge you to find someone serving the Lord diligently that is not provided for by the Lord. He wholeheartedly takes care of his children. Psalm 37, 25. I love this promise of David. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have never not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. That is a promise from God's word. You see, God doesn't, he doesn't promise us riches. He doesn't promise us abundant wealth. On the contrary, that's contrary to the prosperity gospel teaching. He promises to take care of us. He promises to provide for us. Sometimes it's wealth, but it's always enough. It's always what we need. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. But the servant of the Lord today who fulfills the call of God on their life will not lack the basic provisions. And when you look back on your life and you say, I have been blessed. And one day we will all receive a robe of infinite value when we get to see Jesus face to face. And then the fifth and sixth reason why we shouldn't worry, verse 32, these are combined in one verse. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus, when he said, don't worry, because that's the way the Gentiles behave, that doesn't mean a lot to us today. But in other words, what he is saying is, you're acting as if God doesn't exist. You're acting like an unbeliever. When you worry, you may not believe that God is able to provide and care for your situation. It shows that we're no different to the world, and it shows that the things of this world is what we really think will make us happy, will really bring us joy. We might believe that God exists, but maybe we don't believe that he sees us. We might believe that God exists, but maybe we don't believe that he is able to care for us. Perhaps we doubt the goodness of God. Perhaps we doubt that he is a good father. You see, when we get really honest with ourselves, we come to church each Sunday, we read our Bibles, we may join a life group, we may participate in things and be a part of the church. But when it comes to those everyday, basic, day-to-day needs of life, we're practical atheists. In the practical, we don't include God. We're practical atheists. We may do all the right things. We have a God box that it fits nicely in our church experience. But when it comes to the basic needs of life, sometimes we think, well, I've got to take that myself. Because do we really believe that God is able to provide for us? John Piper says, anxiety shows that we're too close to the world and too far from God. You know, this world has nothing lasting to provide for us, nothing lasting to offer us. Our Heavenly Father has and always will provide. He will prove himself faithful. He knows your needs. He knows what you will need in 10 years' time. It'll not surprise him. Then the seventh reason why, and this is one of my favorite verses in the scripture, is Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What a promise. What a promise. But this is not a formula for gaining wealth. This is not, okay, if I seek first the kingdom, then I'm just going to get an abundant amount of wealth given to me. Jesus taught that our focus should not be on the things of this world. That's what he's talking about. He's simply saying, don't focus on these things. Focus on the kingdom. We worry about the things of this world, the status of the world. Our anxiety is so tied into the necessities of this world, and not, our focus is not on the kingdom of God. We just seek the things of God as a priority, over and above the things of this world. Again, this doesn't mean to say we don't work diligently at a job. It doesn't mean to say we don't prepare ourselves and work hard and do the right things to provide for our family. Absolutely. But it means that we put the things of God ahead of the things of this world. So how do we know if we're getting this right? How do we know that we're actually seeking first the kingdom of God? Because it sounds a little nebulous. How do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, it depends where you spend most of your energy. I'm not saying what you focus on. It's where you spend the most of your energy. Are you focusing on those temporary gains, on the temporal things, rather than to do the will of the Father? You know, this is an encouragement by Jesus to avoid idolatry, because that's what it is. It's idolatry. You say, well, I don't have idols. You know, I don't have a temple at home with little statues. No, idolatry is anything that you put ahead of God. And so if you skip gathering together as the body of Christ because of a sporting event, you might have an idol. If you aren't here because you're here today because the Chiefs came playing at 12 o'clock, you might have an idol. So you guys don't have that idol. But anything, if you're too busy, maybe you say, well, I was so busy, I worked so hard on my job on Saturday, I'm too tired to come to church on Sunday morning. It might be an idol. Anything that you put ahead of God, anything that you say, well, I'm too busy to spend time reading God's word, I'm too busy to pray, you might have an idol. You might have a problem with idolatry. And anything you put above the things of the Lord is an idol. Seek first the kingdom of God. Worry and anxiety is an idol. And finally, verse 34, the eighth reason why we shouldn't be anxious. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, some years ago, Debbie and I were living as support raised missionaries. And we used to send out support letters, and many of you know what that's like. You're asking people to partner with you in financial support, and we had a great base of partners. But it started out slowly, and you know, there were some times when we had bills next week that were due, and we didn't know how we were going to pay them, and so we would worry about next week, and the Lord would provide. And then we had enough for a month. What did we do? We worried about the next month. And then the Lord would provide for that month. But we'd always worry about the next month. And then one day we got a lot of $12,000. And we were just blown away and blessed. Because that was the shortfall that we had for the whole year. So basically we knew we were good for that year. That's incredible. But what did we do? Well, at least what I did. Debbie didn't worry. I worried about the next year. And I sat there for a while pondering this, and I realized, you know, if the Lord gave me enough money for 10 years, I'd worry about the 11th year. That is not what the Lord had for us. That's not living with a kingdom mentality. That's not trusting God, and that was idolatry. I didn't believe that God could supply. And when I look back, and I look back at my life, and I see He has always been faithful. He has always provided. He had tomorrow provided for. My anxiety was based on a lack of faith. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. I was taking tomorrow's uncertainty and bringing it in today and creating an idol out of it. I was taking tomorrow's fears and bringing it in today as a worry. How many times do we do that? We fear the unknown. We fear the what-ifs of this world. God said, that's an idol. I don't want you to do that. Jesus wants His followers to be free from fear, free from anxiety. He doesn't manipulate us and coerce us through fear. He wants us to be free. Rather, the more we know Him, the more we see the goodness of God, the less anxiety that we will have. You know, I love that song, The Goodness of God, and the lines that I absolutely love, almost brings me to tears every time I sing them, is, and all my life You've been faithful. All my life You've been so, so good. The longer you've lived, the more time you can look back on, and you can see He's always provided. He's good. He's faithful. He's got a good track record. So to circle back, you know, we need to be reminded that this worry, this anxiety is a sin. Why is that a sin? Because to be worried, deep down, it's that we don't trust God. We don't trust that He is able. We don't trust that He's able to provide or care for us. And maybe we don't believe that God sees us. Maybe we don't believe that he sees us in the trials and the challenges that we're going through. You know, we've said this many times, we worship what we give value to. Worship isn't just singing songs. We worship whatever we give value to. And when we give our value to, our efforts to, our anxiety, our tomorrow fears, we're worshiping that. We're worshiping fear and anxiety, the unknowns, the uncertainties, and we're creating an idol out of that. That is sin. Anytime we place anything above God, whether it's our fear, whether it's our passions, whether it's whatever drives us, if we place it above God in our lives, it's an idol. God must be the highest focus in our lives. So what are you valuing today? What are you valuing today? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is worship. So I made a good case for not to worry. How do we not worry, right? We've analyzed the sickness. What's the prescription? How do we not worry? We meditate. We dwell on richly the Word of God. The Word of God is the answer to worry. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." It's right there. And one of the scriptures that I love to meditate on, because the Bible is full of the promises of God, and they're faithful and true. Psalm 46 is one of the greatest psalms you can meditate on when you're worrying. Verse 1 and 2 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." That's a great prescription for worry. And verse 10 is the key verse, I believe, in Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God." Know that I am God. Sometimes you've got to be still, and you've got to silence all of those competing voices of the worry, the anxiety, the things that are being said to you on the media. Be still. Shut them off. And get into the presence of God and know that He is God. When we sit at the feet of God, and we sit in the throne, in the presence of the throne room of God, and we worship Him, and we get a glimpse of His omnipotence, all of our worries, our fears, and anxieties will melt away. They cannot stand in His presence. You can leave it at the foot of the cross. I challenge you today to repent of your worry, to repent of your anxiety. Leave it at the cross. Leave it behind. And focus on the provision and love of your Heavenly Father. So I want to do something a little differently today as we close. I want us to, the worship team is going to come up, and they're just going to play some instrumental music, because I want to minister to one another, to care for one another. So instead of having a ministry team coming up here and you come up to them, I want to encourage you to pray for those next to you, because I think this is something we all struggle with. And I want us, if you feel bold enough or confident enough, just to pray the person next to you or behind you, just turn around and for 20 seconds just say, "What is the issue that I'm struggling with now?" And pray for each other. Now, you don't go into too much detail, just 20 seconds. Share whatever you're comfortable with each other. Pray for each other as it plays. And there's one thing that you mustn't do. Don't say, "I have an unspoken prayer request." I don't know. I hate that term. You've got an issue, we need to pray together about it, right? So just share what you're comfortable sharing with the person next to you in your row. And if you're not comfortable, someone praying for you and praying with each other, then just bow your head and pray and commit this to the Lord, because you have, we all have, tomorrow's fears that we need to submit to the Lord and allow Him to set us free from that. And then I'll come up in a little while and close in prayer. So let's just do that as the worship team plays. So thank you, team. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, we thank you for this reminder from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of those, the doubts, the fears, the anxieties. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to seek first the kingdom of God in every aspect of our lives, in every area of our lives. Teach us what that's like, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we grow closer to you, we would know and we would experience the peace of God that passes understanding. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord, even as we leave this place today, that we know that you have gone before us into tomorrow and the next day. And there's nothing that happens that's beyond your care, your control, and your provision. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.